Life Audio.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today's episode is entitled, No, Good Natural Foods Are Not Killing You. I'm often asked by patients whether or not I endorse various restrictive diets as a lifestyle. Some of them are fad diets meant to help with weight loss or inflammation or overall health. These include the carnivore diet, the vegetarian or vegan diet, the low-lectin diet, the ketogenic diet, the paleo diet, the Mediterranean diet, the alkaline diet, the blood type diet, and the raw food diet, just to name a few off the top of my head. Others are diets designed to treat either a particular condition or a particular type of sensitivity, but there are those diehard adherents who think that everyone should be on a few of them too. These include the gluten-free diet, the GAPS diet, the dairy-free diet, the AIP diet, the low oxalate diet, the specific carbohydrate diet, the low FODMAP diet, the low sulfur diet, the low salicylate diet, the low tyramine diet, the low histamine diet, and we haven't even brought up the timing of eating yet. Should we skip breakfast, or is it the most important meal of the day? Should we do intermittent fasting? For how long? Should we not eat after 5 p.m.? Should we eat frequent small meals, or should we space our meals out so that the migrating motor complex can do its job? Do you feel overwhelmed yet? If you do, you're not alone. So let's take a step way back. Obviously, not all of these diets can simultaneously be optimal for all people. There would literally be nothing left. But what about all the research that shows this or that is healthiest and the adherents who swear by them, some almost religiously? How do we determine what's true? In order to know what to do with any new piece of information, no matter what it is and no matter how good it sounds, we have to have a context in which to place it. That way we can tell whether it fits or not, like adding a puzzle piece to a particular spot in a jigsaw puzzle. So I'm going to zoom way out for a moment, beyond nutrition as a subject and even beyond health. My overall worldview determines the way that I look at the world, and I filter every piece of new information I receive through that lens. So do you, though your worldview might not be the same as mine. The foundation of my worldview is that I believe in the God of the Bible, and yes, this is quite relevant. Bear with me for a second. If you'd like to know, at least in part, how I arrived at that conclusion, you can check out my podcast series on apologetics. There's 5 pieces, or maybe it's 6. Anthropic fine-tuning, irreducible complexity, information theory, the missing links, the Miller-Urey experiment, and the age of the earth. I guess that's 6. If we skip past the how and the why and just start with that presupposition, in the context of nutrition, here's what we know. Number one, all of the plants God made for food in the way that he made them were good. Genesis 1 verse 12. God told Noah and all of Noah's descendants that he was allowed to eat meat. Genesis 9 verse 3. God meant food for our pleasure, Genesis 1:29, Psalm 104:15, and James 1:17. It's possible food might have become adulterated by human means such that it becomes bad, or that in the process of healing of a particular ailment for a particular person, it might be necessary to restrict otherwise good foods for a certain period of time. But that isn't the same as the blanket assumption that an entire class of food that God made and pronounced good for food actually isn't. He didn't lie. He can't lie. Hebrews 6 verse 18. He didn't poison his creatures. God only gives good gifts. James 1 verse 17. If that's true, it rules out every diet that claims that some inherent component of a whole unprocessed food is bad for all people, or that entire categories of healthy natural foods are toxic for a large percentage of the population. That's just not God. That's not the sort of thing that he would do. So one caveat here, still speaking from my fundamental worldview, we do know that when mankind fell, creation fell with us, Romans 8, verse 22. It won't be restored to its original perfection until all things are made new in Revelation 20. Because of that, and as technology proliferates and industrialization pumps chemicals and heavy metals and plastics and radiation and pharmaceuticals and etc. into our environment, we as a species are becoming more toxic than ever before. Not only that, but the way we process and package and mass produce our food means that even the food itself often becomes a source of toxic exposure, nor does it contain all the nutrients and building blocks for health that it once did in its original design. How all of these toxins and deficiencies manifest in a given individual, of course, varies wildly. This, I think, is the level at which genetics come into play. Epigenetics is the way in which our environment determines which genes get turned on and off and why one person's weak link won't be the same as someone else's. If someone's weak link happens to be the gut, though, does that mean that person should spend the rest of his or her life avoiding 20 food sensitivities, oxalates, sulfates, high histamine foods, and whatever else? Again, my worldview says no, because God is good. He is our healer, Exodus 15, verse 26, and he designed the body to heal itself. That approach might be necessary for a time while treating the root cause, detoxing, healing up the gut lining, etc. But if someone continues to restrict trigger foods long term, that person will simply accumulate more and more food sensitivities. That's what usually happens. The opposite of this approach is hormesis. Small exposures to what the body has perceived as toxic or dangerous, slowly increased over time, usually achieves tolerance over time. That's why allergy shots work, and it's why low-dose immunotherapy and many of my other favorite naturopathic therapies work. There may be a period of time, and often there is, when short-term restriction of otherwise healthy food is necessary while searching for and then treating the root cause of why those foods are a problem in the first place. But then, whenever possible, my goal is to broaden, rather than to further restrict, people's diets. God made food for our enjoyment as well as our nourishment, Psalm 104, verse 15. So, what diet do I think everyone should be on once they're healthy and in maintenance mode? Just eat food the way God made it. Whole, unprocessed, organic if you can afford it so that it's not slathered in pesticides and what have you, and with a reasonable balance between the main macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, and fat. I think occasional desserts with healthy natural sweeteners should be enjoyed as long as there isn't a major reason not to. I think fasting occasionally is very healthy, and scripture backs that up. None of us will be able to eat perfectly, and that's okay. There might occasionally be some processed food, some refined sugar, some pesticides, or some GMOs that slip in there. As with everything else, we should do our best without becoming stressed out about avoiding every possible toxin. We can't control everything anyway, and it's emotionally toxic to try. A friend of mine in med school once said, "Better a pizza with friends than a salad alone." Amen to that. It's all about balance. So I hope that was helpful to you. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's wholehealthdr.com. Type in your location or just the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.